Welcome back, and we're joined now by members of the cast and the director of Charlie's Aunt, coming to Long Beach in a couple of weeks, part of the ICT's great series. Our guests are Jules Aaron, who is the director of the show, and Joe Cullerton, who's one of the actors. And gentlemen, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Jules, you've directed Charlie's Aunt a couple of times. This is classical British farce. The show was written 100 years ago.
It's one of the amazing shows that holds up from that period, one of the few, actually. And I think one of the reasons is it's about love, and it's about a guy getting into a dress and getting into trouble. And between those two things, most of the audiences can really appreciate the humor of the situation of the show.
And Joe, you've been in the cast of prior Charlie's Aunt productions a couple of times. What's the response of the audience to this?
The response of the audience
craziness?
Is hilarity and exhilaration. They completely lose themselves.
Yeah.
When the play gets rolling, it's everything the actors can do to keep up with the audience with
really?
Their enthusiasm and their response. Yeah.
Well, I love British farce, and I've seen the show years ago. And very briefly, Jules, it's about old English times college kids where if you have a date, even for tea, you have to have a chaperone.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's tough for kids today to relate to a time when if you want to have tea with a girl, the girl has to bring a chaperone with her.
Or else she's a fallen woman.
My, how times have changed.
Yes, yes. The whole premise of the show is getting Charlie's aunt to be there while the two of them have lunch with their hopeful, with what they hope will be their fiancés.
And then Charlie's aunt can't make it, and male has to impersonate Charlie's aunt.
Yes, a very antic friend of theirs who's actually trying to steal their champagne happens coincidentally, as in these shows, to be doing a theatrical that night of playing an old lady. And
they call her in.
And
him, her.
Yes, and he puts on the dress and wig to show them, and by then they've found out that the aunt can't come, and suddenly, with no notice whatsoever, he becomes Charlie's aunt.
Most reluctantly, too,
yes.
Right? He absolutely doesn't want to do this, and he's forced and bullied into doing this masquerade.
Now, Joe, you mentioned a moment ago that in your prior productions, the audiences actually get out in front of the actors. It's so funny. So something so classic, 100 years old, relates to today's audiences.
Well, all comedy is surprise, and this play is just full of surprises. And there's also a thematic thing that makes the play immortal, and that is that at the end of the play, you have four happy couples, all of whom who have had their love tested in the course of the play. All four of them start up financially. They're all upper class, but they're all a little hard up for money. They all have their true loves tested, and by passing the test, they all wind up better off financially, too. Just like life, right?
Love triumphs over everything.
Absolutely.
I have to... I'm midway between the tea and chaperone and today's
the
young
co-ed
kids.
The co-ed dorms?
When I was at college, I went to an all-male school, and there was the no sex after 7 rule. All visiting girls who would come down for football weekends had to be out of the dorms by 7 p.m. No sex after 7. And they had proctors who go around and inspect. And a violation, an acquaintance of mine, got suspended for a year for violating that. And I think back, I said, my, how times have changed. But even before that, there were chaperones. And now, of course, it's a much more open society.
Absolutely, yeah.
Another reason why this play has survived is because it's a vehicle for a great comic actor. I mean, they did a wonderful film of it around 1940 with Jack Benny.
Oh, yes.
Jose Ferrer had great success in it. Ray Bulger did a musical.
Ray Bulger, yes.
He did a musical
Where's
version.
Where's Charlie?
Yeah. And we have a young genius named Brian Stanton playing Lord Fancourt Beverly, playing this patsy that's forced into the dress. The guy is great.
Well, good broad-based humor and British farce with doors slamming and things happening. It's a form which isn't written much today.
It's hard. It's hard to write a good farce.
It's hard to write good
Didn't
farce.
Didn't they have Ray Cooney at the theater last night?
Ray was our guest, and that show was hysterical.
It was very funny. And there are still the noises off, lend me a tenor, those kind of things. But to really write a classic comedy that's going to stay with you, takes great artistry.
Well, speaking of artistry, our guest, Jules Aaron, has won three Garland Awards, three Drama Critic Circle nominations, and the recipient of 18 Drama Logue Awards. So, very, very experienced director, and we're delighted that you're coming into town to do another one of the ICT productions.
Right, yeah, my affiliation with ICT has been, about 20 years, and Shasheen and I have known each other for 25. So it's a very loving relationship, and besides my being employed by it, I'm a very big supporter of the theater because it's really reached out and, you know, and it's doing many community things. The last show I did was Four Guys Named Jose, which was a wonderful Latin show, and we had a terrific response from the Latin audience.
And Joe, you've done South Pacific, The Best Man, mm-hmm. King John and Julius Caesar. Do you have any preference? That seems to be a wide range of different types of shows.
Well, what was it? Was it, it was the great actor Forrest on his deathbed said, "Dying's easy, comedy's hard."
So comedy is the most challenging,
perhaps?
It
is, absolutely.
Really?
It takes the most technical precision.
Really?
Yes,
comedy does.
Listen, if they're not laughing, that's a pretty good sign that the comedy isn't working.
It's lethal. It's
lethal, it is. And, you know, I've...
Egg on the face.
I used to go up a lot to the improv and the comedy clubs, and there, you know, one comedian is out there alone, and I always felt that stand-up comedy was the most difficult of all the performing arts, because at least if you're singing a song, even if you're bad, the song carries you through with
yes.
the dance. But you said lethal, and it is, because I've literally seen comedians die on the stage, and I empathize with them. It must be awful to be up there alone and no one's laughing.
It's, for me, it's something that I never could imagine doing. I think you're right, Art. Of all the comic forms, the stand-up is the roughest.
And your point, Joe, is that the show collectively is a comic show.
Absolutely.
And you immediately know whether you're getting to the audience or not. And you said at the beginning, in those other productions of Charlie's Aunt, the audience was even ahead of the actors.
Absolutely. And the thing is that in preparing a comedy and rehearsing it, it's so largely logistics and business, and it takes tremendous control over your instrument as an actor, but then in front of the audience, it requires spontaneity and
Absolutely.
Freshness.
Or well, guys, funny. Thank you for joining us. I really look forward to seeing the show. Sounds great. We'll put the bumper information up. Go visit the next production of ICT, Charlie's Aunt, coming into town real soon. This has been a great show. Thanks for joining us. Join us next week for the next edition of Straight Talk. Good night, everyone.
Straight Talk has been brought to you by Southern California Edison and the Press-Telegram. And remember, Straight Talk is viewable worldwide 24/7 at StraightTalkTV.com.